One way all day, Jesus Christ. Look here. Sitting out here just spending a little time with God. Amen. Praying, reflecting.
One way all day, Jesus Christ. He loves you, church. He loves you, sinner. Repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn away from your sin and face Christ and be saved. One way all day, Jesus Christ.
Oh. Go hard for God. Look here, I love you, but even more so than I, Jesus Christ does. Amen. Go hard for God.
Because it takes that thing a couple of seconds to get started. What's that?
It was the Johnny Cash.
Last week? Yeah. No, Wayne did the Johnny Cash song. You're right. He cashed in on it. There you go. All right, 15 seconds. I remember doing this at Brother Estes Church when he was live on television. All right, go ahead. Good morning.
Morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
All right. Anybody celebrate a birthday this past week? That's here. Nobody. Wow, even though we have several more people here. Hey, there's Mike snuck in on me back there. Hey, brother. Wow, it is good to see people returning to church. Praise God. How about anybody have an anniversary this past week celebrating? Anybody here?
Holly and Steve had one yesterday.
Holly and Steve. Harold. So, yes, we want to recognize that. Yes. Okay. Kinsley, how old is she now?
Two.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. And many of you don't know the story about Kinsley that's listening, and she was more or less a miracle baby. She struggled for a long time, and we prayed a lot, and she's doing well. Praise God. Yes. Oh, praise God, up to 20 pounds. Oh, praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Good news, all around good news. Praise God. All right, well, let's sing the birthday song and the anniversary song for everybody who's out there who may be celebrating and for these that have been mentioned. So, birthdays. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And now then, the anniversary for Holly and Steve and anyone else who celebrated this past week. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Oh, yes.
It was Rick and Sharon's 50th yesterday.
Whose?
Rick and Sharon.
Oh, that's right. It was on Facebook. Yeah, Rick and Sharon, God bless you. 50 years, and boy, that's a long time. It's a great accomplishment. Praise God. So we definitely were singing that for you as well. All right, I want to make a couple of announcements before I forget, because that's usually what I do if I don't do it right away. We will have a business meeting tomorrow night. So there's some things that we need to discuss specifically and especially the Christmas program. So for those of you who are involved in and wish to see the lighting at Christmas time that Mark has talked about with several folks, he says it's time to make a decision, go or no go, because it's getting so late in time, because there's a lot of work to be done. And so he will present the cost and different things, and we need to make a decision as a church whether we're going to do it or not do it. I think everybody pretty much had already made their mind up that we wanted to do it, but now that you see the cost, hopefully you won't change your mind. But it's definitely something we need to do, and the initial cost is always more, and then maintenance after that is less. But we definitely need to do that tomorrow night. Business meetings start at 7, so everyone who can make it, please do so. And yeah, we can probably live stream the meeting, and then votes can come in that way too, online. People can say yay or nay online. So thank you for paying attention and letting me know that. And the second announcement is Mary Kress has said she's ready to start the ladies' meetings, lunch meetings back up the last Wednesday of June. Is that right? Last Wednesday of June. So for all of you ladies who are interested in coming, it's always a blessing. I don't know any lady that's ever been to one of these lunches that hasn't come out and said, wow, that was awesome. So Mary is a blessed teacher, and she always has good material. That is always a blessing. So those are the announcements that I'm aware of. So anyone who can participate in those things, please do. All right, now our memory verse, and if you want to show it to folks on the screen, and we can say it together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Praise God. Thank you for those precious promises. And now we have our opening song. It's by the Journeymen, which, by the way, I want to say this real quick, too. There was a couple of services ago, we played some songs that by the original artist, and Facebook originally muted them and would not play them, saying that we didn't have permission. And I put in an argument that we had our license, and I sent them our license number, CCLI, CVLI, and they sent it to Sony Media, and they accepted it and said, go ahead. Praise God. Another victory for Jesus. So we can use that music. All right, and here comes a song, If You Drink This Water, by the Journeymen.
Well, there are springs of living love.
Living with love.
These springs.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a message in that song. You know, if nothing else, during this time, we definitely are getting a great variety of music. So much different than what we normally are accustomed to here, but praise God, it's a blessing. All right, it's time for our opening prayer, so let's pray. Father God, thank you once again for this beautiful day, for the privilege of being here in your house. Father, your love is so abundant and so evident just by looking around us at all the beauty of your creation. You are such a wonderful, loving, merciful God. Of course, you are also a God of justice. So, Lord, you have expectations of us to be holy as you are holy. So, Lord, help us to live up to what your word tells us you expect from us. You enable us and empower us to be overcomers and to achieve for your glory and your kingdom. So use today's service to draw us closer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and now we have another song. Everybody knows this one, I think. I Saw the Light. It's bluegrass.
Life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man guide you back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That was good. Let's see, there's a famous comedian that always says, that's funny, I don't care who you are. Well, that was good, I don't care who you are. All right, and now I'm going to ask Brother Jim to come up, and we'll have our communion meditation, and I hope everybody picked up your communion emblems as you came in. If you didn't, now's a good time to go grab that. Brother Jim.
Okay, the meditation message I'm going to share this morning is I know I'm not lost.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, last part of mushroom season around here, maybe some people are still finding them, but I only found a few each time I went out, and I know that Mary enjoyed them, so we've been working hard around the house and kind of said, well, you know, I think this is just about the last time I'm going to get out and try to find a mushroom. So I told her, I says, she normally goes with me, but it was getting late in the evening, and I says, I'm just going to dress up in my attire. I normally dress up in a vinyl suit, boots, spray myself down with deep wood off, knowing that, the ticks and the chiggers are just terrible when I get bit. I mean, I've got spots that are 6 months old that are still on me. So I said, well, I'm going to take off. I told her, I said, I'm going to take off. I'm going to go find you a few mushrooms. Well, I went back to the few spots we normally go and ended up, didn't find but three mushrooms. So I'm taking this path back and I'm going off to different hollers looking for mushrooms, looking for something familiar to get back home. I didn't see real familiar things, so long story short, 5 miles later and almost dark, Mary's panicking. My phone's not getting any reception. She can't get a hold of me. She's calling different people to try to find me. I know I'm not lost. I'm walking, I said. If I just keep walking in one direction, I'm going to find a road. Finally, it's getting a little bit. The sun's going down. I'm saying, oh, see a house up there. Man, I know I'm not lost now. So I walk towards that house. I'm sweating. I'm telling you, I'm drenched because of that suit. I take that top suit off. I don't care if I get eaten up or what. I'm walking through knee-high grass, and I'm taking off. Finally find a road. Guy comes out in his underwear. He says, what? Can I help you? I said, no. I said, I'm just calling my wife to pick me up. So I call my wife. 10 minutes later, she comes up. And I think she made the calls back to different people she had called to try to help find me. So then my wife finds a message on the internet. I'm not lost. I said, well, that'll suffice. That'll be one of the things I can share. It says, and the devotion went like this. While driving through a rural area on dirt roads, the gentleman from a city became confused. He stopped at a farmhouse and asked directions, which normally, that is not a male thing. Normally, that is a woman. Ask directions. No, most males are just going, and they're going to find their way no matter what. When the farmer came to the door, he asks, can you tell me how to get to Interstate 16? Shaking his head from side to side, the farmer replied, nope. Well then, continued the lost tourist, do you know where US 301 is? Thinking a moment, the farmer said, don't know that either. Frustrated and confused, the driver blurted out, you're stupid. Oh. You don't know anything. Well, responded the farmer, I know I'm not lost. There are many things we may not know or understand about the Bible, but there is one thing we can know with certainty whether or not we are lost and separated from God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Even though there are many roads that take us to many places, there is only one way that will lead us to God."
Amen.
That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Him, we find God's truth and the road to eternal life. In the scripture they pointed out, John 14:6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me."
Amen.
So as we take the emblems for the body and the blood of Christ, we want to remember that through His blood, we can all be saved.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Very good. Okay. So now we're ready to take the emblems. Let's pray together, and then we will partake. And those of you at home, hopefully, can join in with us. Father God, thank you for all that you have done for us to make it possible for us to have a way to be with you in eternity. Lord, we do this in remembrance of you and to honor you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And to get back to a little more normalcy, it was recommended that we do the doxology. And so we are including that this morning. So let's sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. Creatures here below, praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wow, what a blessing. All right, and now we have another treat for us this morning to share. And this is another bluegrass version of Amazing Grace.
taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That amazing grace. All right. Well, this being a fifth Sunday, I normally open this up to some of the folks in the church to have an opportunity to share a message on their heart from God. But because of the circumstance, we didn't get a chance to arrange for anyone to come in. So I have a video clip that I've shared with some of you already, and it's about 15 minutes long, I think, but this message is very apt and very very much on needed today. So I think you will enjoy this, but as by way of scripture to go along with this, and you'll understand it after you hear. This is said to be one of the shortest scriptures in the Bible. It is from John 11:35. Two words: Jesus wept. Now we will watch this video, and then you will understand a little more.
One way all day, Jesus Christ, look here. Sitting out here, just spending a little time with God, amen, praying, reflecting. And, there's so many, you look around the nation right now, and I've seen it time and time again. I've seen people, asking the question, if God loved us so much, then why would he allow this to happen? And why would he allow children to die? And why would he allow things like the coronavirus to happen, or hundreds of thousands of people to perish, and why would God do all these things if he loves us? If you serve a God who does that, then I don't want anything to do with that God. And then even in our own personal lives, we start going through something, some kind of trial or tribulation. We start going through something, anguish or pain, and we cry out to God, and we ask why. It's always why. Why, God? Why? What have I done? What have I done? Why, God? But how many of us ever sit down and ever ask God, not why are you doing this, God? But God, how do you feel? How many of you have ever wondered how God feels? Our Heavenly Father, our Abba, our Creator, the lover of our souls. How many of you have sat down and asked God, God, how do you feel about the millions of unborn children who are murdered? How do you feel about the same-sex marriages? How do you feel that TV and music influences our youth to gun each other down in the streets? How do you feel, God, that they took the institution of marriage, which was pure and holy before your eyes, and turned it into something filthy? How do you feel, God, that now people get married and divorced, the divorce rate's higher probably than the marriage rate? How do you feel, God, that marriage is just a joke? That when people get married, they don't even commit to one another anymore. They cheat on their spouses. How do you feel, God, that the things on TV, that the things on the radio are against you and it's disgusting and filthy against the word and statutes of God? How do you feel, God, that we can kill hundreds of thousands of millions of unborn aborted children every year and think that we've done no wrong and no harm in this nation and this world? How do you feel, God? That our movies and our TV and our music, it influences our youth to steal, rob, and mistreat women. And it teaches women to be prostitutes and harlots. And it teaches people to do dope and snort dope and sell dope. I mean, how do you feel, God? How many of us ever sit there and just ask Him, how do you feel, God? We'd rather pray and say, oh God, woe is me. Woe is me, help me, God. But how many of us are going to sit there and say, how do you feel, God? Looking down, the Bible says the eyes are of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He sees all. He knows all. Nothing passes Him. Amen. He's watching in the filth. He's watching in the wickedness. He's watching every unborn child being slaughtered inside their mother's womb. His eyes see it. How do you think He feels beholding such wickedness every time a man marries a man, or every time they lay down and have sex, or every time a woman marries a woman, or every time they lay down and have sex? He sees it. His eyes behold it. Those are His children directly going against Him. How do you think He feels, church? How do you think He feels? The churches, the majority of the churches, are preaching this Tickle Me Elmo sermons, and the people are perishing on the streets, and the homeless people are starving on the streets, and the people are going without on the streets, and the people outside of those four walls are perishing because they do not know the truth. Yet inside the temple we would stay and never go outside and teach and preach the gospel to these lost, dying people. How do you think He feels, church? Do you think He's pleased? Do you think He's happy? Do you think He's full of joy? How do you think He feels, church? I would say He's full of wrath. I would say He's full of angry. I would say He's full of hurt, of sorrow, of grief, because His children have rebelled against Him. Amen. Even the ones who profess Him have rebelled against Him. Amen. I would say He's upset. I would say His righteous indignation and fury shall rest upon the nations. I'll say that judgment shall come swift and mighty as a sharp sword upon the world. Amen. And there's no escaping it. The Bible says they'll try to hide in the caves. They'll try to hide in the rocks, hide their face from Him who sits on the throne. Amen. But they will find no hiding place. They will find no dwelling place to escape Him. They will find no place. Amen. And you will find no place either. You can't hide your face from the one whose eyes sees all, from the one whose ears hears all, from the one who knows all. And He loves us. He died for us. He died that we may live inside His Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, to be conformed into His image, and not in the likeness of this world, but in the likeness and glory of a glorious Savior. Amen. A glorious Savior. Amen. But how do you think He feels, church? Do not kid yourself today. Do not deceive yourself today into thinking that God is well pleased with this world, because He's not. How do you think He feels, church, when His eyes see all, when His ears hear all, when He knows all? Amen. How do you think He feels, church, when the majority of those who profess His name, who say they follow Him, will not even walk into the fire? When the fire comes, they deny Him because they're scared to death. And instead of faith, they have fear. And instead of faith in Him, they hold on to fear, and they crumble and they cower. How do you think He feels, church? How do you think He feels this day? I tell you, it's not good. He is upset. He is righteously angry.
He is full of sorrow and grief. Amen. You know, in the days of Noah, it said he looked upon man and regretted ever making him. Amen. Oh, God, I believe he's there again. Amen. I believe he's there again, church. I believe he looks down upon us. And all the innocent children we slaughter. And all the filth and corruption in this world. And I believe it repents his heart that he ever made man. And he loves us so much. And we deny him and we rebel against him. Oh, forgive us, Father. How do you think he feels, church? Oh, hallelujah, Father. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive us. How do you think he feels, church? Do you think he's happy? Oh, God, forgive us. Help us, Father. Don't be deceived this day, church. Don't be deceived this day, unbeliever. God is not pleased. God is not pleased. Yes, he loves his children. Yes, the righteous shall become more righteous. But we ought to be crying out. We ought to be crying out because people are dying. Souls are being lost. Hell enlarges itself daily. Amen. But instead, I see people contending one another, fighting one another, bashing one another. Amen. Instead of trying to lift each other up, as the Bible says, instead of trying to bring unity inside the body, people would rather gnash and backbite and scoff one another. Amen. When God has called us into unity, to be a body inside himself. Amen. Yet I see people trying to tear down and tear apart that which God is trying to put together, amen. And it's sickening. They don't even know what spirit they operate in. They don't have a clue. They think they're of God, but they're against God. And it's sad. But the heart of God is still this, and it always was. Jesus on the cross, when the same people who were killing him, same people who were persecuting him, same people who were murdering him, amen. This heart of God is still the very same today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That same heart is what we're called to walk in when people come against us. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This same heart of God remains. It always has been, and it always will be. That's always been his heart. It didn't just become his heart on the crucifixion. It was always his heart. God always tried to build the gap and to separate and to not separate himself. He always tried to bring us back to him. He always tried to draw us back to him. Over all through the Old Testament into the New Testament, his always was his goal, amen, to lead us back unto him, that we may know salvation, that we may know his provision, that we may know his prosperity, that we may know his blessing, that we may know him as our Abba Father, that we may know him as our provider, Jehovah Jireh, that we may know him as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. That we may know him as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my protector. That we may know him as Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my victory. He always wanted us to know him, yet we would still and continuously rebel against him. When he's saying, here I am, take my hand, follow me that you may live, we would look at him and scoff him and turn the other way and say, I'd rather follow man, or I'd rather follow myself, or I'd rather follow my lust. God, instead of following you, I'd follow all these things. But the whole time, God's had his hand out, and he's just been saying, follow me, child. He's just been saying, come with me, that you may know life and life abundant. Come with me, that you shall live and not die. For I'm a Lord, hallelujah, that's sticking closer than a brother. And I'm a God that'll walk with you to the very ends of this age. And I'm a God who'll never leave nor forsake my people, though they may turn from me. I still walk with them. I'm a God who's married to the backslider. I'm a God who will come to the pig pen and pull you out of hell. I'm a God who gave himself for you. I'm a God who gave my son that you may live. I'm a God who's crying out. And I'm a God who loves my people. And I'm a God reaching, and you are a people people rebelling, and you are a people ignoring, and you are a people running away from the lover of your soul, and you are a people running away from the one who wants to save your life. Amen. Oh, have a Father, help us, God. Help us, God. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Help us, Father. I pray you be encouraged, equipped, and edified this day. Amen. One way all day, Jesus Christ. He loves you, church. He loves you, sinner. Repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn away from your sin and face Christ and be saved. One way all day, Jesus Christ.
Oh. Go hard for God. Look here, I love you, but even more so than I, Jesus Christ does. Amen. Go hard for God.
Wow. That was sent to me by one of my cousins. That young man's name is Larry Montgomery Morrell Jr. And that was posted on Facebook. Very powerful message. Very powerful message. And he's spot on. The nation needs to repent. We need to wake up. Now we have a song to go along with that scripture. It's an old song. Yes. Yes. Leviticus what?
Leviticus 26.
Leviticus 26. As for those of you that are at home, Mary Chris is asking for us as a church to turn in our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 26. And what is it that you want to share?
It says the reward for obedience. We really need to read that chapter.
Oh, okay. Amen. Yeah, the title to the chapter is Reward for Obedience. Absolutely. You're right. We do need to read it. And it's a long chapter. It goes in from there to punishment for disobedience. So this, again, is a part of the blessing and the curse that was later given to Joshua. But this would fall under that same category. For obedience, we receive a reward, a blessing. For disobedience, well, there is always judgment and punishment. So if you folks want to read this chapter at home, I think it would be a blessing for you. And I know we've taught through this in our Bible study, but this might shed some new light on it. Okay. I can do that. Read the first 11 verses. So for those of you that are at home, if you want to follow along, Leviticus 26, 1 through 11. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. So, obedience to the Lord has its reward. And this young man crying out what was on his heart. You know, we in the Bible have a Sermon on the Mount. I think that young man just had a sermon in the field. I know some people may be offended by his approach, but to that I say too bad. Sometimes the truth hurts. And God's truth is the only truth that matters, because it's the only truth there really is. And regardless of how it's presented, it needs to be obeyed. Now we will play this song that goes along with the scripture I chose, because it's called Jesus Wept by Hank Snow.
We'll pay the price, 'cause Jesus wept
all alone.
All alone.
In this cruel world of sin, I have fought for Jesus, but in vain. In my fight for the dear Lamb of God, they condemned him and tried to erase his name.
Jesus wept, and the tears that he shed left a stain of sorrow upon my heart. For a sin-stricken world that we'll regret, we'll pay the price, 'cause Jesus wept.
They shouted mockery and sneered the Son of God as they smote him and nailed him to the tree. A little bird circled around his crown of thorns to dry the tears that he shed for you and me.
Jesus wept, and the tears that he shed left a stain of sorrow upon my heart. For a sin-stricken world that we'll regret, the price, 'cause Jesus wept.
With a heart like a pale withered rose, he asked his Father in heaven up above,
Forgive them, Lord.
For they know not what they do. Grant me the power to save the ones I love.
But he still weeps, and the tears that he sheds leave their stains of sorrow upon my heart. For a sin-stricken world that we'll regret, we'll pay the price, 'cause Jesus wept. We'll pay the price, 'cause Jesus wept.
Well, praise the Lord. I told you today would be a little different. And I think we all I can agree that it was. I just hope that it was a blessing. And so we offer now the opportunity for anyone who wishes to come and either, you know, have a need to come forward for prayer, or, you know, if you feel you need to repent, now is a good time to do it, whether you do it where you are, come forward. Those of you at home, if you have a need, you're welcome to contact me through Facebook, and we can contact you and pray together with you. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for all of your blessings. Thank you for receiving rewards when we are obedient. And thank you that when we are disobedient, you chastise, judge, and even punish us when we refuse to repent, or sometimes even when we do. But Lord, it's all about your love. You want your people to be holy as you are holy. And to be your ambassadors here on earth, we must obey. And if we're going to obey, we must know your scriptures. So Lord, help us to dig in. Dig into the word. The more we know your word, the more we know you, and the more we can be blessed. So, Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Amen. The blessings and then the curse. The
26.
Yeah, Leviticus chapter 26. Everybody read it. It's been requested. Mary Chris has requested we all read it. I agree. And don't stop there. Continue reading the Bible. The Word of God is always a blessing. You know, sometimes we forget to sit down the newspaper and pick up the Bible. And sometimes when we read the Bible, it's almost like reading a current newspaper. We see all the same things happening. And so we can relate. All right. Thanks, everybody. God bless. Pray for our nation. Absolutely. Let's read it right now. Okay. Well, we're not done yet.
Judy requested that as well.
Okay. All right. We can do this. Let me get open back up to it, and we will read it, unless somebody else who's already got it open wants to read it. That's allowed. Leviticus 26, and we've already read the first 11, so we will begin at verse 12. 14, I'm sorry. Okay. Let's see, that's 25. This has definitely been a different kind of service today. All right. We're ready for verse 14. But if you will not listen to me and carry out all these commands, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will bring on you sudden terror, kind of like COVID, wasting diseases and fever that will destroy your sight and sap your strength. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. I will set my face against you so that you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee even when no one is pursuing you. If after all this you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. I will break down your stubborn pride and make the sky above you like iron and the ground beneath you like bronze. Your strength will be spent in vain because your soil will not yield its crops, nor will the trees of your land yield their fruit. If you remain hostile toward me and refuse to listen to me, I will multiply your afflictions seven times over, as your sins deserve. I will send wild animals against you, and they will rob you of your children, destroy your cattle, and make you so few in number that your roads will be deserted. If in spite of these things you do not accept my correction, but continue to be hostile toward me, I myself will be hostile toward you and will afflict you for your sins seven times over. And I will bring the sword on you to avenge the breaking of the covenant. When you withdraw into your cities, I will send a plague among you, and you will be given into enemies' hands. When I cut off your supply of bread, 10 women will be able to bake your bread in one oven, and they will dole out the bread by weight. You will eat, but you will not be satisfied. If in spite of this you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile toward me, then in my anger, I will be hostile toward you, and I myself will punish you for your sins seven times over. You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and pile your dead bodies on the lifeless forms of your idols, and I will abhor you. I will turn your cities into ruins and lay waste your sanctuaries, and I will take no delight in the pleasing aroma of your offerings. I myself will lay waste the land, so that your enemies who live there will be appalled. I will scatter you among the nations, and will draw out my sword and pursue you. Your land will be laid waste, and your cities will lie in ruins. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbath years all the time that it lies desolate, and you are in the country of your enemies. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths all the time that it lies desolate. The land will have the rest it did not have during the Sabbaths you lived in it. As for those of you who are left, I will make their hearts so fearful in the lands of their enemies that the sound of a wind-blown leaf will put them to flight. They will run as though fleeing from the sword, and they will fall, even though no one is pursuing them. They will stumble over one another as though fleeing from the sword, even though no one is pursuing them. So you will not be able to stand before your enemies. You will perish among the nations. The land of your enemies will devour you. Those of you who are left will waste away in the lands of their enemies because of their sins. Also because of their ancestors' sins, they will waste away. But if they will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors, their unfaithfulness and their hostility toward me, which made me hostile toward them so that I sent them into the land of their enemies, then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin, I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. For the land will be deserted by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will pay for their sins because they rejected my laws and abhorred my decrees. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them or abhor them so as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant with them. I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of Egypt in the sight of the nations to be their God. I am the Lord. These are the decrees, the laws, and the regulations that the Lord established at Mount Sinai between himself and the Israelites through Moses. I think he means it. Yes. Amen. 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 You're right. We took God out of the public arena. We took God out of the schools. We refuse to acknowledge God in many things, science and many of the professions, even medicine. To a large part, has removed God, depending on man, depending on science. And even many people, just like here, and what Mary said is very true. This was writing was to the Jewish people. But here's the thing. Since we became a part of Christ, we were grafted into the Jewish lineage. So we are part of the Jewish lineage too. We have the same commands. We have the same laws apply to us from God. The same blessings and the same curse applies to us, whether you obey or disobey. And like in this text, it said that the people, even though they were being hostile towards God, even though they were turning away from God more and more and more, they were still offering sacrifices. They were still gathering in God's name. They still came together as though everything was okay. And that comes back to much like the vision that I shared with you all a while back that I had one morning when we were in prayer. And I came in here. I felt called to come in here and pray while my brothers were praying out in the fellowship hall. And I came in here alone and I began to pray. And God gave me a vision of people sitting in the pews. And it was absolute darkness. I could see shadows of people, and they were smiling and laughing and having a good time while they were in church, but they were in the darkness, not in the light. They thought that everything was okay when it wasn't. I had asked God specifically to show me his heart, to show me what he feels. As the video says, do you ever ask God how he feels? I did. I said, God, let me feel what you feel. Let me see what you see. Let me hear what you hear. And he did, and it broke my heart. It took me a week to stop praying, to stop crying and weeping and praying over that, because it was just so, the darkness was the darkness that could be felt. I could feel it around me, just the wicked, the evil. And yet people were having a good time in the church. And folks, I think that unfortunately, we can see this in reality. And what we just read in Leviticus 26 is a warning. It's also instruction. In the instruction, the main thing is obey me. Obey me and I will bless you. Disobey me and I'll deal with it. And if we're going to have a revival, we're going to have to repent. We're going to have to confess. Not just our sins. He said the sins of the ancestors too. Generational sin. That's what that's called today, folks. Generational sin. And that term and that idea comes from another scripture that talks about when you sin against father, the sins to the third, it's counted to the children of the third and fourth generation. In other words, it takes that long for a family to change. You've been taught a certain way. You grew up. Your parents were using foul language, not going to church, not doing this, not doing that, and drinking and partying and all of this stuff. So that's what you learned. And you continue that on in the next generation. And somewhere along the line, somebody may reach you through the gospel, and it may make a minor change, but not a deep-rooted, deep-seated change. But then that idea gets transferred into the next generation, and they start doing better. Then it goes deeper into the next generation, and a revival happens in that family. And folks, revival happens one person at a time. It starts with the leaders. It starts with the leaders. And the Bible's very clear. It says, the judgment begins in the house of God. Why? Because we are the people of the covenant, just like we read. We are the people who made a promise to God. From the moment we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts, we're making a covenant. Yes, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Yes, I agree to your terms. Yes, I will obey what you say. Yes, I will study your word. Yes, I will get to know you. Yes, I will get to know your expectations. And yes, after I learn them, I will do them. I will put them into practice. We're saying yes to Jesus. But then, if we're not careful, something happens and we begin to say no. Jesus says, I want you to go to Africa and preach the gospel. Oh, no, I could never do that. Remember what Moses' first response was? Oh, I can't speak. I can't speak. I get all tongue-tied. I can't do public speech. Lord, I couldn't go and represent you. There's no way. I just, who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? I mean, God has a solution for every problem we can come up with. We have to be willing to accept it and believe it. You know, I'm reading a book right now by John Dawson, Taking Our Cities for God. I just read a chapter this morning before I came in here. And one of the things that he asked about how we as an individual, how we respond to the needs of our church, of our own lives, of our families, of our cities, of our nations. Who is your God? How big is your God? Is our God the God of the Bible, the one who can do anything, no matter the cost? Or is our God limited to what size bank account we have? Is our God limited to only what we can think? No, he's not. I can tell you right now. He may be in our hearts and in our minds right now because of an absence of faith. But when we truly believe in God, the God of the Bible, and he tells you to do something like build a building, which he told me, you don't worry about money. Amen. You don't worry about people to do it. You just plan on it, and when it happens, it happens. You don't fight about it. There's no reason to worry about it. If everybody else is not on board, that's okay. God is. And it will happen when it happens. I saw it. He showed it to me. It's going to happen. Who's going to pay for it? God is. Who's going to make it happen? God is. It's not up to me, folks. It's not about me wanting to build a building. It's because God showed me the building. God said to build the building. It's going to happen. I'm not going to fight about it. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to worry about it. Because my God is big enough. It's going to happen. Amen. That's all that matters, folks, is that we truly believe. When God shows us something, you know, he showed me the vision of the healing line in this Christian church. Something that doesn't really happen because we don't believe in all these miracles, right? I do. The Bible says Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And he showed me a line all the way out to the road of people coming in here to get healed. Who was doing the healing? God. It doesn't matter who's standing and touching people. It doesn't matter. It could be all of us. It could be any of us. It doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is that when this revival begins, we're going to see miracles, folks. Things that we never saw before, never thought we would see in our lifetime. And the reason why is because we're so close to the end. We're so close to the end. If you know the Bible at all and you're paying attention, you know there's at least 9 things that are going on right now that are signs that we are in the last days. At least 9. There may be more, but at least 9. We just have to pay attention, folks. And if I understand the Bible correctly, I know what my heart tells me. During this time, the darkness is going to get darker, but the light is going to shine brighter at the same time. So while we're having this great revival, the devil's not going to sit still and let it happen. He's going to fight back with all he has. And we have to endure. We have to be tough in our faith. We have to stand up and pray and hold the place that God has given us and even make it grow. We have to be so fearsome that we don't worry whether we die in the battle. Because we have on the full armor of God, standing as his warrior and standing with the angels. You know, there's a great passage in the Bible, this great story, Elijah. And the whole army came looking for him because he was telling everything the king thought of in his own bed. He was telling to the enemy king all of his plans before they happened. And so he sent the army to go get this man. And when he went to get him, Elijah just said, "Lord, blind these men." Poof! They were all blinded. They couldn't see. And he himself went out and said, "I'll lead you where you need to go to the person you're looking for." And they're like, "Okay." But before that, he made this statement to his assistant. His assistant was freaking out. He's saying, "Oh, look, we're surrounded. What are we going to do?" And Elijah just looks at him and says, "Don't worry. Those that are with us are greater than those that are against us." And he said, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And he saw the chariots and riders, fiery chariots. And all the angel riders surrounded all of that army. He was not the least bit concerned. And so he led them into enemy territory, right in the capital, right to the king. And then says, "Lord, open their eyes." Poof, their eyes were open. I mean, just imagine. And then the king says, "Let me. You want me to kill them? You want me to kill them?" He said, "No, don't kill them. Feed them and send them back home." And he had a big feast, a big banquet. I mean, it's just backwards of what you would think. But as a result of that, they never came into the territory to terrify them again. Never. Never. They learned a lesson. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, there's 2 things that is really important with the gospel when it is being preached or proclaimed. That's the first thing. Proclaim the gospel. The second thing is to demonstrate the power of God with the gospel. That's what happened in the book of Acts. That's what happened throughout the Bible. They preached the gospel and then people were healed. And together, it built faith in people's hearts. And I believe that we're coming back to that day again soon. And now, I'm way over time. But praise God. Praise God. Let's pray again. Father God, thank you so much for your many, many blessings. Thank you that you showed up here again today. Continue to touch our hearts. Continue to bring revival. Help us to confess our faults, the faults of previous generations, and help us to repent and to live for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. Till next week. God bless.